the San Jose Sharks with a 2-0 lead on the LA Kings. The way that both the first two games have gone, the LA Kings can't keep the puck out of their net. San Jose Sharks looking good through the first 20 or for the first two games of this series. And joining us down the Subway Restaurant's Fresh Take Hotline is John Hoven from MayorsMatter.com. John, appreciate this once again for joining us here. But in your mind, you've seen the first two games of the series. What has gone wrong with the Los Angeles Kings? Why they find themselves in the situation that they do?
Well, first off, thanks for having me back on. Always love coming on the big show. With the Kings, I mean, basically it's boiled down to defense. People can try to pin things on Jonathan Quick and say that he hasn't been as sharp as normal, but, you know, when you're under siege all night long with outnumbered, you know, breakaways and three on nothing, you know, type situations and the speed that San Jose has been able to bring it has really caused a lot of the problems. So, you know, I think what people need to remember when you look at the Kings and Sharks, and you're right, absolutely a huge surprise. People were expecting a close, tight series, and we haven't seen that. Instead, we've seen, you know, just a parade of goals. But what people need to remember is that the Kings are built off of defense first and foremost. That's their bread and butter. They're not a team that's designed to run and gun with other teams. They're not a high-powered offense. They're going to get a couple of timely goals, and they're going to abuse you physically and keep the, you know, keep the forwards at bay, playing a puck possession game and get some good defense and win with goaltending. And so basically they have not been able to play LA Kings hockey here through the first two games, and all the credit in the world you know, goes to the San Jose Sharks. They executed a game plan not only in game one, which was to be expected, yeah, but even more impressively did it in game two.
Did it surprise you? You come out of that game in game two, you're down 3-2 after 40 minutes of play. You blow the 2-0 lead. You have a rough second period. Did you expect to see something more from the Kings? I mean, they're only down by one goal going into that period. Where did it really just kind of fall apart for you there? Was just this, so much momentum on San Jose's side? That why they were able to score four more in the third period? Or kind of what went wrong in that final frame in last night's game?
Yeah, there was definitely momentum that was building on the Sharks' side. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it was very similar to game one in the sense that once they potted that first goal, you almost seemed to see the confidence of the Kings kind of evaporate from their bodies, and they were playing differently after that. In the case of the Kings in the opening, you know, 20 minutes in game two, getting that first goal really gave them a little bit of confidence. It looked like that they were, you know, cycling the puck the way they do and getting their forecheck going and all the little things that they talk about, you know, after practice and after postgame. But, man, once the Sharks tied the game, it pretty much seemed inevitable that the Sharks were going to win that game. The Kings just didn't seem to have the same level of effort and couldn't really play their game, back to what we talked about earlier, which is that puck possession game, as well as, you know, getting involved physically. So they needed to get Matt Green back in the lineup and try to get some physicality that way. Unfortunately, that didn't work, and now Colin Frazier, who was part of that 2012 Cup run, he's on his way back to L.A. right now, and he will be available for Game 3. We'll have to see if Coach Sutter puts him in.
John Hoven joining us from MayorsMatter.com, covering the LA Kings, doing a fantastic job in covering this series against the Kings. Jonathan Quick, obviously, I mean, not the kind of start he wanted to the series, allowing a lot of goals. Is this a lot to blame for him, or is this just a lot of breakdowns in front of him that are causing some big headaches for the Kings?
Way too many breakdowns in front of him, and people that want to try to lay the blame at the foot of Jonathan Quick really haven't watched this team over a long period of time and don't understand really how the team is built or how the team is coached. I mean, there were people on Twitter going crazy after game one saying that Martin Jones should be the starter for game two. That flat wasn't going to happen, and the same thing started to happen after game two, people questioning who's going to start in goal. There's not a shadow of a doubt starter for game three will be Jonathan Quick. They're going to ride him all the way through to the end, and he's going to take him, you know, as far as he possibly can. And let's not forget that if you can put these first two games to the side, Jonathan Quick is one of the truly elite goaltenders in the National Hockey League. So it's not like all of a sudden he forgot how to play goal.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Jonathan Quick as well, I know here on the broadcast here, CBC, Kelly Rudy showing a couple of clips of him during the one TV timeout in the third period. He kind of went down the bench and kind of talked to each of the players, kind of rallying the troop. Not sure exactly what he said, but, you know, taking some ownership and saying we'll get through this. And then at the end of the game, you know, usually the goalie, especially after a loss like that, the first one to head off the ice, but he waited until the rest of his teammates came and got off the ice first and kind of giving them all a tap on the pads as they went off the ice. I mean, does that just kind of speak to the kind of character that Jonathan Quick is, that he kind of takes some responsibility for this one and wants his team to know that he's going to be better?
He doesn't take a little bit of responsibility. He takes all the responsibility in all situations. It's just the way he is. He's a team-first guy. It's amazing. here in Los Angeles, people love to, you know, go back to a number of years ago when the Kings were fighting for their playoff lives, and I'll never forget, it was a Thursday game, and he pitched a shutout, and after the game, you know, the media was trying to talk to him about the game, and he didn't want to talk about it. He said, tonight doesn't matter anymore. The game's over. We got the 2 points. Only thing that matters now is if we get a win on Saturday against the Bruins. And that's just his mentality. It's all about turning the page and moving on. So, yeah, it's terrible, terrible, terrible loss, or pair of losses up in Northern California. But really, hey, you know, need to turn the page, need to move on. And, you know, the old adage also about we don't really have a playoff series until somebody's lost the game at home. And last year, 7-game series, the home team won. Every game, yeah. And the Kings had Game 7 in their building. They won't have that advantage this year. So we're now in a must-win situation. If the Kings can even the series up here on Tuesday and Thursday, then, you know, it's a 2 out of 3, and they don't have home ice. We'll have to see where it goes from there.
Now that they're switching back to the Staples Center in L.A., what kind of you expect differently from the Kings? I mean, is they now have the ability to have the final change and get some matchups? I know in a lot of series that's always good to have, but so much depth on the San Jose side. Can you really match all the weapons that they have if you're the Kings when you're on home ice?
I think probably more importantly than the matchups actually is going to be the fact that they're going to have that energy that they've been able to feed off of over the last couple of years in Staples Center. You know, people can talk about Los Angeles not being a hockey town, but you look at over 100 straight sold-out games, and you look at the passionate fan base here, the huge crowd that turned out for the 2012 Stanley Cup rally in downtown. This is a hockey town, especially come playoff time, and especially when the Kings are playing really well. And people in Southern California, you know, although they don't want to look too far ahead, they are quietly, hoping for a second-round matchup between the Kings and the Ducks. So this L.A. crowd is going to be fired up, and the Kings have shown an ability to feed off of that energy inside Staples Center over the last few years in the postseason. It's going to be deafening for Game 3, and if they can use that to their advantage, jump out early, just like they did in Game 2, actually, on the road, but maybe this time hold on to that lead, that should be a good start to getting them back into the series.
Just a couple questions about the back end. I know Drew Doughty missed a few games coming down the stretch for the Kings. Is he still maybe not at 100%? Do you get the sense that, I mean, they're obviously going to be quiet about it, but do you get the sense that maybe he's still not 100%?
Doughty says that he's 100%, and, you know, he's, for the most part, he's pretty much a straight shooter. He's one of those guys on the team that wouldn't know any different, you know, in terms of when you ask him a question, he just kind of, you know, tells you what's on his mind. Unlike some of the other maybe seasoned veterans who can be a little bit coy with you, Doughty doesn't have, really, I don't think, a coy bone in his body. He just says whatever comes to mind, good or bad.
Yeah.
So he says he's 100%, first of all, but he did get a good, you know, week plus off prior to coming into the playoffs, starting there, I guess, 2 weeks, really. He looked a little bit tentative in the opening couple of minutes of Game 1, but by I'd say midway through Game 1 and certainly in Game 2, he looked like the Drew Doughty of old to me and wasn't afraid to get involved physically and that sort of stuff. So I don't anticipate that there's a major issue there, although at the same time, Sutter did mention that one of the reasons he put Matt Green as his seventh defenseman in the lineup for Game 2 is that he wasn't sure that his defensemen were going to be able to get through the game. So I think he was more talking about Robin Regier, actually.
Regier
has been nicked up for the last couple of weeks as well. I don't think he was talking about Doughty, but of course we'll never know until the playoffs are over.
Yeah, John Holman joining us for MayorsManor.com. John, Marian Gavrik, what do you see from him the first couple of games? He was that big deadline acquisition to bring in there to help add some depth up front. Obviously, it hasn't worked out in the first couple of games, but is this kind of one of those where the Sharks were really covering him hard, or do you think it was just one of those situations where he just got to get his feet under him here and ready for some playoff hockey?
I would say this. I would say that if you asked me 2 weeks ago about Marian Gavrik, what I would have told you is it didn't matter how many goals he scored in the regular season. The ultimate report card on the Kings acquiring Gavrik was going to come in the playoffs and what he was able to do there. That being said, I don't really think it's a fair assessment to overly criticize what he's been able to, well, let's say, not produce here in the first couple of games. The Kings team, as I mentioned earlier, they're not an offensive powerhouse. They're not designed to go out and run and gun. So what you're hoping for from Gavrik is to get some shots on goal and to create some opportunities with some of his teammates. You know, he's playing with the dynamic center in terms of Andrei Kopitar. Gavrik went a long stretch through the game last night, wasn't generating shots, but it wasn't just him. It's a lot of his teammates as well.
Yeah.
So, not a lot of heavy criticism specifically for Gavrik. I think there's plenty of blame to go around at this point. We'll give a full evaluation on Marian Gavrik when the LA Kings 2014 playoff run is over.
Yeah, and just a couple more here for you. When you look ahead to the game tomorrow night, if the LA Kings are going to have to get back in this series, are going to get back in this series, what do they have to do to the San Jose team? There's so many weapons that the Sharks can come at you with. If you're the LA Kings, what are you going to have to do to get back in this thing?
You know, I think it's a cliche to say that any team needs to play their game, but in this specific case, it probably is the most accurate description. The Kings, we've been talking about here, they're a puck possession team. Mm-hmm. They're known for punishing their opposition. There have been a lot of hits thrown in this series already. We would expect a lot more hits to happen, you know, throughout the remainder of the series. But they need to feed off that energy like we were talking about earlier. They need to come out, get a lead, because the Kings, like a lot of teams, they play differently with a lead than they do rather than coming from behind. And when you're not really built offensively to go out there and play run and gun, every goal is precious. So, you know, you don't want to find yourself in a two-goal hole, because mentally you start to play the game differently. And if they can get one of those early advantages like they did, in Game 2, you had Carter and Lewis, It was Carter that fed Lewis. But you had two goals there early in the game, and that really, you know, should have led to a positive 40 minutes for them going forward, but it didn't. So if they can feed off that energy at home and get things rolling, that should bode well for them in Game 3.
And just a final one for you. A head coach like Daryl Sutter, we know he's been here before with the Stanley Cup championship. He took the Flames to the finals in 2004 as well. Having a veteran coach like that that's been in a situation like this before, and he always seems to, no matter what the situation is, kind of be calm in the media and addressing the post-game comments, you know, addressing the media post-game as well, even after yesterday, still has that kind of calm demeanor to him. What does it mean to have a guy like that around?
Well, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because it's such a fine line to walk. You need to be able to motivate the guys. You need to be able to get the most out of each one of your players, and each player is unique. You know, you mentioned a young player like Drew Doughty compared to a seasoned veteran like a guy like Willie Mitchell, and the buttons you have to push to get those guys going certainly are different. At the same time, you do have to be careful, because you don't want to lose the room, and you don't want guys to tune out, and you don't want guys to feel beat up either, so... what we've seen from him time and time again, you know, since taking over a number of years ago for former coach Terry Murray, is his ability to change and adapt to the situation. And just when you think that he's not going to change and you think he's going to follow what we'll call the same old Daryl Sutter formula, he throws a curveball at you. So, you know, from that standpoint, who knows? Yeah. Maybe Martin Jones is going to start Game 3. I think that would be the shocker of all shocks. But he has that ability to change. And his team has talked about that at different times as well, where, you know, when they expected they were going to get chewed out or a bag skate or whatever, he comes around and basically gives everybody a high five and a pat on the head and tells them how proud he is of them and gives them the day off. So it can almost be confusing at times having a guy that can be so calm and yet, I guess we'll say, for lack of a better word, bombastic at other times. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting to watch.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting, John, to see what happens as this goes back to L.A. at the Staples Center. We saw the same sort of scenario last year with the home team going up 2-0 after the first couple of games. So hopefully this one goes a while, because it's a fun series, and it, on paper at least, should be a matchup of a couple of Titan teams. Thanks a lot for joining us here today.
All right, have a good one.